Hi, good morning. I'm Susan.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're here to do your scripture reading today. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them.
They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how he loved him." Some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?"
Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them.
But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible."
Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go."
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The atmosphere is changing now. The atmosphere around us is changing. You can feel a gaseous pressure changing, right? It was cooler this morning. Yay! Fall is finally dawning on us in October. I know, late October, but we feel like it's getting colder for this morning. And the atmosphere is changing around us. The gaseous pressures are changing. Sometimes we feel an atmosphere. Sometimes we fear the atmosphere. Sometimes we just can't get away from the awkward vibe that's in the room at the moment. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are in the middle of a series on Do Not Fear. And we'll talk about some of the scary things we see in our Bibles. Things like visions of ghosts. Things like dead men coming back to life. Things like visions of angels and visions of bones being connected and armies of bony men walking around. We're talking about do not fear. And this week, we're talking about do not fear the atmosphere. And I'm not talking about the stratosphere. I'm not talking about the troposphere. I'm not talking about the all the different layers of the atmosphere and the gaseous things that surround our planet to make sure it's suspended and it keeps us moving around in a perfect circle. That's way too complicated for me. I'm talking about the sense of something being awkward. I'm talking about the atmosphere of a meeting that you don't wish to attend. I'm talking about that family meeting that you're going to have to go to, and you know it's just going to be really awkward. I'm talking about the awkward atmosphere that happens even in a funeral or a memorial, or a time when everybody has to gather and you don't wish to be there. As a minister, I get the privilege of being able to be at people's funerals and memorial services. And one of my first services, one of my first memorial services was in Wellspring, my first church. And it was going to be an awkward one. You see, Arthur's wife had died. His first wife had died. Arthur's wife, Brenda, had died. And you know, they hadn't been to church in a while. And Arthur knew that he grew up in a church. He knew that you had funerals in a church. And he's just one of those guys that he wasn't going to do the funeral. You know, he had one of these like really long beards and he like it. No offense to long beards, but he's the kind of guy that rode a lot more bikes and spent a lot more time in a pew, you know what I'm saying? And so Amy, his new wife, decided to do the funeral, to do the memorial service for her husband's ex-wife. That's kind of an awkward situation. It's kind of an atmosphere. But Amy wasn't worried about the atmosphere. She was just worried about being Christ-like. And I see more about Jesus Christ in that woman than I've ever seen in my time in ministry. She put the service together. She arranged for the flowers to come. She made sure it was in the right location, told everybody where it was going to be, arranged all the different people in different places, made sure that her two stepdaughters, who happened to be living with her at the time, were also included in the service. She made sure that the Jehovah's Witness woman had a prayer that was almost Jehovah's Witness but wasn't really. She made sure that her daughter was included in the eulogies. Someone asked that we're going to release butterflies in the service. And the day came. I was a little in fear myself. I was a little in fear of the atmosphere, a little in fear of the awkward situation that was about to come around. I was a little in fear of the sense and the environment that this would come up. And what would people say about what I was orchestrating here? What would people say about the service that was having at my first church? And the day came, and we came into the sanctuary. The first part was going to be in the sanctuary, and the second part was going to be outside in the prayer garden. And so we said our eulogies, we said what we were going to say, and it was a nice service, still a little awkward. We walked out the sanctuary, it was a hot day, of course, we were all in black. What will people say about this event? What will people say about this memorial service that I'm having today? And we walked out to the prayer garden. It was just a 50-yard walk kind of thing. It was a big garden in the middle of the property. And towards the east of it, there was an area set off for prayer. And there were chairs around the prayer garden and a tree stump in the middle where people could light things and do little memorials. To the east of the garden was a cross. And on the floor were bricks on the floor with people's names on who donated to the church development. It was an awkward day. As we walked out there, we set up and we set up to say our prayers, and you could feel the atmosphere. People who'd been there, who'd never been to church in 30 years. What forgotten, remembered what it was like to be in church. Why was my stepmom running the service for my mother? It was an awkward time. What about you? Have you ever been in an awkward situation where you could sense the atmosphere, where you could almost taste it, you could cut it with a knife, you could feel it surrounding yourself, and you were living in fear about what was going to happen, what people were going to say, what people were going to imagine about your situation? What will people talk about after this atmosphere is over? Have you been in a place, a family meeting? Have you been in a meeting at work where you just couldn't wait to get out of? Did you fear the atmosphere? Martha did. Martha was the sister of Mary. Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus. And Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were friends of Jesus. And Bethany was the place that they lived in. Bethany was the location where Jesus would hang out if he had any downtime. And he would be with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That was the location. That was his place where he hung out. At this time in our story today, Jesus is in another town, a day away, a day's walk away. And when Jesus is there with the disciples, a man, a messenger, comes to him and tells him that Lazarus is deeply sick. He is almost dying. And he hears about this. It takes him a day to get there to Jesus. And Jesus hears about this, about his best friend Lazarus being close to death. And the disciples are a little worried. They don't want him to go back to Judea. They know that those in Judea are gonna persecute him, and they're probably gonna like catch him and try and kill him. The disciples are in fear. They don't want him to go back. And they actually say to Jesus, "Let's not go back there." And Jesus says to him, "I'm gonna show you something that's gonna make you believe. I'm going to show you something that's going to make you believe in me." And he waits 2 days. He waits 2 days to go back to Bethany. When he arrives in Bethany, there's an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere surrounding this town in Bethany. Everybody is mourning the loss of Lazarus. Everybody is mourning. In fact, in the Mishnah in Israel, that's the sayings of rabbinic leaders, they put in their Mishnah that everybody, even if they are poor, are to have a flute of mourners, a group of people that are paid to mourn for somebody who has died in your family. So people, not just the family, but also professional mourners were there, both with Mary and Martha in their home and at the tomb of Lazarus. Because by the time Jesus gets there, 4 days have gone by. 4 days have gone by, and he stands on the edge of town. He doesn't want to go into all this atmosphere. He stands at the edge of town. Martha runs out. Martha's the doer. Martha's the one who gets things done. She's the one on schedule. She's got, you know, type A. She's got the Excel spreadsheet. She's ready to go wherever things are going. You know who that person is. I can see you digging each other. She runs out to Jesus. Runs out. "Where the heck have you been? Where have you been, Jesus?" 4 days have gone by. 4 days have gone by, and your friend, not just some random person that you're healing, not just some person who's blind, not just some person who can't hear, but your friend, Lazarus, is dead. Where have you been? Why did it take you 2 days to get here? "Martha," says Jesus, "do you believe in me? Martha, do you believe?" "Yes," she says, I believe you're the resurrection and the life. You're the Son of God. You are related to the Father. I believe in you." Good. And she runs back and gets Mary. And this is where Jonathan and Susan read in our scripture today. Jonathan and Susan got us to, we started off at this point, we're at verse 30. And if you've got a Bible or if you look at your bulletin, it's on the front of the bulletin. We're in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 11, verses 30 onwards. This is where we are in the story. So Martha's already like had a go at Jesus. Already said to him, "I believe." And then she gets Mary to come and see him too on the edge of the town. Like it says, verse 30, Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his knees and fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked. So Jesus is still on the outside of the village, and Mary goes out to him. And as Mary goes out to the edge of the town, the mourners, the professional mourners and the family mourners, follow her, thinking that she is going to the tomb. But actually, she's going to visit the one who can defeat the tomb. Amen? She goes out to him, falls at his feet, knowing exactly who he is, falls at his feet and says, "Jesus," probably a little calmer than Martha, "Jesus, why weren't you here? Why?" You ever feel like that? You ever feel like Jesus doing miracles for all the other people and not for us people? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like there should be someone sitting next to you today? When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, so the mourners are surrounding her while she's with Jesus, a deep anger welled up within her. A deep anger. Now this word here in Greek is embryomomai, which means indignant, deeply moved. In fact, it means snorted with anger. You ever snorted with anger? Jesus is upset that death is causing so much pain. Jesus is upset that this pain that he can see in Mary, this pain that he can see in Martha, that Satan is kind of using this to make people feel even worse. And he's angry. And he's upset. And he snorts with anger. And then he asks, "Where have you put him?" And they say, "Come and see." Then Jesus wept. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" All of humanity and all of the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are wrapped up in these two words. Jesus wept. Jesus is our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and is the only God that is with us in and amongst our troubles, in and amongst our fears, in and amongst our weird anxieties and our weird atmospheres. He comes to us and weeps with us and says, "I'm here for you. I am with you in this pain." We don't know all the answers, but I'm with you in this pain that is before you. And the people around him were like, "Isn't this the guy who healed the kid on the gurney, on the bed that was coming out of Nain? Remember that woman, the widow? And she was just passing by and Jesus just like healed him? Remember, isn't this the guy?" Yeah, and maybe somebody else would say, "Yeah, isn't this the one that healed the Pharisees? What was his name? Jairus? He healed his daughter. Isn't this the same one? Surely, if this is the man that heals a random kid coming out of Nain and heals a random Pharisee's daughter, then surely he can heal Lazarus, his best friend." There was three types of people that Jesus was kind of trying to convince to believe here. It says believe, or references to believing in Jesus, eight times in this scripture. 8 times in this chapter that we are in today, in chapter 11. And there's 3 groups he is trying to convince. The ones he started with a day away, the disciples, the ones who have followed him, the 12. There's the 2 sisters in the village when he gets to Bethany, just outside of Bethany. And there's the Jews at the tomb. Each group, he says the same thing. Believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in me and you will see God's glory. They just can't believe that this is the same guy that heals the blind man. And he's standing there at the tomb looking at the stone and looking at the people around him. Jesus was still angry. Ugh. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb and he sees a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for more than 4 days. The smell will be terrible. So Jesus, under his breath, angry at all the mourners, angry at what he sees before him, and then sees the tomb where he is laid, just like the one he is going to see not long from now. Only this time, he can see the front of the stone rolled over the tomb. The next time he sees the stone will be on the back of the tombstone. And whether we are looking at the front of the tomb or the back of the tomb, it doesn't matter. Jesus can like lift it up and levitate if you want. He can destroy it. He can blow it into a bunch of pieces if you want. It doesn't matter. Jesus is still the one that brings resurrection. Amen? And he's looking at the, and he can just like blow it out the way. He can just like go right through it, walk right through it. But he says to everybody around there, roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. You ever thought about that? He didn't need anyone to roll it away. Roll the stone away because Jesus, our God, always wants us to be involved in seeing his glory. Amen? He always wants you all to be in and amongst seeing his glory. And he says, roll the stone. I'm not sure who rolled it away. All right, let's roll this away. They roll it away. And what do people say? What do we hear? And we've been building all the way up to this moment. It's a big chapter. It's kind of a large chapter here. It's a big chapter, and then we have this one moment. You know this text. There's going to be a big resurrection. Lazarus is going to come out. And what does Martha fear? What does Martha fear as Jesus is about to do the most miraculous thing in her life? As is most going to do the most convincing moment of worship in her life that people are going to talk about for 2,021 years. Jesus, don't open the tomb. It's been 4 days. It stinks. There's going to be an atmosphere. Martha was in fear of what was going to happen next. What were people going to say? Oh, that's Mary, yeah. That's Mary. She's the one that opened the tomb, and it stunk. I was speaking to Joseph and Libby the other day, and they said it stunk there. That's what's going around in Martha's head. But what about all my mourners? I paid for all these mourners. All these people are around. Everyone knows who's in the town. Everyone knows the 3 of us. And what are people going to say? I mean, the atmosphere is already thick. You can cut it with a knife. And you're going to open the tomb? It's been 4 days. Now, Jews believed that perhaps a body could be revived after 2 or 3 days. They believed that the spirit still resided around and the body could naturally come back to life after 3 days. But 4 days, they believed the body decayed beyond resuscitation. Beyond revival, beyond renewal. And the spirit started to go away and the face was white. It's over. It's been 4 days, Jesus. Obviously it's going to smell. Obviously the atmosphere is going to be bad. Obviously, Jesus, people are going to be talking. Jesus responded, what do you say, Mary? He didn't say that, did he? He said, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Jesus responded with love and grace to Martha and said, and even give her another chance to believe. And said, didn't I tell you you believe? And by the way, if Jesus said to me, didn't I tell you? I'd be like, you did? I'm good. You said it. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you you'd believe? Didn't I tell you if you believed, I would do something? And he raised up a prayer, a very simple one, not a long one, notice, just a little simple one. And he displayed with his prayer his unique relationship with the Father. He displayed with his prayer his unique relationship with the Holy Spirit, was going to do the work in a moment or two. And he says, Lord, I'm just doing this so these people would believe. I'm just doing this so all of the three groups, no matter whether you're a Jew, no matter whether you're a disciple, no matter whether you're one of the sisters of the deceased, I want all of them to believe, Jesus. And he said the prayer. And he said the prayer and he lifted it up. After the prayer, he did something practical. He said, Lazarus, come out. I like the way Thomas did it really loud. Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Some scholars have said that Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. He used somebody's name because if he hadn't said that, everybody in the graveyard would have rose up. Lazarus, come out. And out comes Lazarus, who's been in the grave for 4 days, like something out of the Walking Dead, and his grave clothes are around him. And people are looking at him, and people are like, oh, we don't care about the atmosphere, it's no problem. Like, he's come back to life. This is amazing. Oh, wow, wow. I don't care, I'll help. I'll unwrap him as well. Oh, wow, wow, look what this guy did. I'm going to believe. Not everybody believed. But I'm going to believe because I believe that Jesus can do something massive in my life. I believe that Jesus can bring people back to life, whether it's a metaphor, whether it's for real, whether it's somebody is sick, whether it's somebody is hurting, whether it's somebody is lonely. Jesus can bring people back to life. Amen? He gave us a new life and gave us a place where we can function in his kingdom. Jesus snorts. Jesus is sad. Jesus is upset at what he sees. And he cuts the atmosphere. In fact, he doesn't cut the atmosphere. He blows it apart. And no matter what Mary is fearing, Jesus comes in and says, I want to be with you and in and amongst this. What about you? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus can bring people back to life? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Do you believe that Jesus can resurrect you? Do you believe that no matter what fears you are facing in your life, what atmospheres are going on, Jesus can come in and sit and be with you? Do you believe that? Jesus wants to be in and amongst your stink. Jesus wants to be in and amongst the awkward atmospheres that you are in today. And there might be some that you're going to face coming pretty soon. There might be some meetings that you have to go to at work. There might be some meetings that you have to go to in your family. There might be a funeral or a memorial service coming up pretty soon that you don't want to be a part of. But even in amongst that, Jesus meets us right there. So we got to the prayer garden at the memorial service. And as we walked out, the butterflies were putting on the floor, you know, it got even more awkward. I'd never done a butterfly. I was a little nervous and a little fearful of what's going to come next. And we all gather around in the prayer garden, and we're all ready for the last bit. And I said some prayers, and then I opened my prayer book, and I said the last prayer in the prayer book that most people resonate with. I says, Lord Jesus, into your hands I commend Pam Spinnett. Into your hands I commend her spirit to you, and I return her back to you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. And everybody in there said, amen. And I was happy and said, they said amen, because I felt like people were involved. And all of a sudden, a tree in the prayer garden, an old tree, fell down. I heard this almighty crack. Shoop, boom! Thankfully, it missed me and the rest of the mourners. Oh my gosh. Some people said amen again. Somebody else said, well, that's a way to go out. See, even in my fear, even in my fear about what people were going to say, even in my fear of the atmosphere, I seen the glory of God. I seen the glory of God right in front of me. It almost hit me right on the head. And people that were involved in that funeral, that memorial service that day, will never forget it. Jesus can come into your atmosphere. Jesus can come in and address your fears. Today, I want you to know that you are not to fear your atmosphere, but believe that the Lord Jesus wants you to see his glory. Amen. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you come to us and meet us in our midst, that you come to meet us in our awkward situations. You come amongst the stink. You come amongst everything that we encounter and the things that we are fearful about. And we're thankful, Lord, that you weep with us and you meet us there. We're thankful, Lord, that even when we are fearful, you are triumphant. And we pray, Lord God, you would show us today where that is. You would help us not to fear and help us to put our whole trust in you. And we ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of us said, amen.